989-0089.
At the 2015 Love Life Women's Conference, you'll discover that the road you're on is one filled with possibilities. So get ready to rethink what's possible with messages by Joyce Meyer, Craig Groeschel, and Darlene Chep, and worship with Christy Knuckles, Anthony Evans Jr., and Matt Redman. Come discover the roadmap to the beautiful life God has for you in St. Louis, Missouri, September 17th through the 19th. Early bird pricing ends May 31st, so register today.
Thanks again for listening today. And to order today's offer, just head to our website or call. Until next time, remember, glorify God and enjoy Him forever. This is the key to enjoying everyday life.
Depression, anxiety, panic attacks, guilt, self-esteem, and stress. Problems that affect individuals and families every day. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens is a licensed psychologist who has extensive counseling experience providing counseling from a Christian perspective. He specializes in helping people overcome these problems and build their self-esteem, reduce guilt, and improve marital relationships. Dr. Frederick L. Stevens, located in Port St. Lucie, is available at 772-398-4377.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message.
The significance of covenant. You see, in the day in which we live, we have truce breakers. You know, we have people that don't honor their word, that don't honor relationship, that don't honor, and we're going to see God deal with those things on a whole nother level, because He's a God of covenant, and it's very important. So if we're going to win these battles and we're going to stand in faith and we're going to have the proper identity, we must be a people that are people of covenant. You know, I really don't even like to deal with people that I'm not in covenant with. Amen. I've learned this from Dr. Jonathan. He is a covenantal man. I won't go as far as to say this, but you would think that he wouldn't even talk to a person that he's not in covenant with. That's how covenantal he is. You know, but when there's covenant, you have everything that he is. Every resource that he has, all that he has is yours, because there's covenant. You know what? God is a covenant God. When we're in covenant with Him, everything, every resource is ours. But if we're out of covenant with Him, then He's still kind and crumbs fall off the table. But we must be a people of covenant. And our culture has really shot holes in that whole concept, you know, with the concept of self and self-awareness and, you know, self, all this stuff. And you know, it's divided the family and all that. But God is a God of covenant. We can't really embrace God without embracing the concept of covenant. You know, covenant back in marriage. You know, it's not prenuptial stuff. You know, until I don't like something, until, you know, you get me upset, until, you know, this, that. No. It's until death do you part. Hello, it's covenant. It's not based upon feeling, like or dislike. It's not based upon convenience. It's not even based upon how well you may be treated. Help me, Holy Ghost. It's true. It's covenant. But see, if you understand God and His working, if you are properly covenanted, and even through mistreatment, guess what? You will grow. You will increase. There's nothing that can stop you. There's nothing that can block you. But if you're carnal and just natural, then you look at things from a carnal perspective and you miss God. As I said, we have to understand the concept of suffering. If you free yourself from pride, with the lowly is wisdom. Your eyes will open right up. Once you free yourself from pride, your eyes open and you begin to see as God sees. But when you are walking in pride or pridefully, your perception is way off. Amen. I said, your perception is way off. So that's a very important point. But God's people must stand in a place of faith. We saw that. Number three, God is raising authentic leadership, not just those that are nationally committed. You know, the elections were just here recently, and, you know, now they're still divided, and, you know, people gloating over these victories. And, you know, people mourning over these losses, and you know, because they're diehard, you know, Republican, diehard Democrat, or okay, good, that's over. How about we be diehard kingdom? Rise above all this stuff. You know, yeah, thank God when good people are in office and we vote and we do our due diligence and all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about his kingdom. It's about the king that reigns. You know, here's an interesting thought just came to my mind. You know, we are called kings and priests. Back to speaking into the atmosphere. We are called kings and priests. Now, Proverbs will tell you that when a king speaks, when he makes a decree, he has authority in his realm, and all his servants, every resource that is at his disposal is put forth to bringing that decree to pass. Are you hearing? And the word of God calls us kings and priests. So when you speak, see the word says that angels hearken unto the voice of God's word. Faith is like a servant almost. When you speak things out, there are angels that are hearkening to the voice of that word to go to see that it is fulfilled. Amen. Amen. Because why? It's the word of a king. You're not a pauper. See, that's why there's a battle over your identity. Because when you don't feel like nothing, you say anything. You know, you talk anyway. You talk on a real low level. You know, you feeling bad. You feeling like that. And, you know, you just got to let it all hang out. You know what I'm saying? And so that's why the enemy fights you there, fights you over your identity, tries to convince you that you're not all that. When you are a king's kid, you are a king, you are an heir, and what you say is important, even though you might not think so. Or, you know, the enemy will fight you on it. But I want to encourage you tonight, stay on your course. Keep the word in your mouth, that Darba word. That's the word of destiny. Amen. You might have been knocked down. You might have been hindered. You might have been blocked for a while. But guess what? The cloud is gone behind you now. Come on. There's been a shift. The cloud is gone behind you. And it's darkness to your adversary. And it's going to be light to you. Amen. And it's going to protect you. So speak. Tell somebody, speak into your atmosphere. Speak with authority. Speak consistently. Speak. Don't let negativity and things that are contrary to the known will of God for your life. Don't speak those things. Our enemy is good at trying to paint pictures, make things look like. Just hold your peace. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Don't allow him to provoke you into saying things from your flesh. Amen. But wait on God and continue to speak those things, because that word will not return void. Number four, the characteristic and the attribute of this generation that will be liberated from bondage and transformed. Number four is you'll have accuracy in the midst of crises. We must master complete obedience to his commands. Let me say it again. We must master complete obedience to his commands. Again, if we look at this from a sovereign perspective and from a word perspective, the word of God tells us that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. All right, if you don't grasp that, ask God, Lord, help me with this, so that my efforts, my part, my human preparation and my endeavor is not grievous. It's not hard for me to want to obey you. You know, the enemy, again, the battle over your identity, he makes it feel like, you know, why God put all this on me. When the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. The psalmist said, I delight to do your will. So we have this thing wrong sometime in our thinking. Hello? Amen. Amen. Because of the condition of our soul. Amen. Because where our soul is, where our thinking patterns are. But if we'll allow God to cause us to rise, amen, to become buoyant in our spirit and see from his perspective. I mean, everything that God has for you has to be good. Amen. Everything that God does for you has to end up good. Amen. You know, his thoughts for us or toward us are not evil. Even though in the course of fulfillment, in the process of fulfillment, you might endure some evil. You might go through some darkness. But that's not the end of your course. That's not where you end up. Amen. And even in that, if you understand the word, it says that all things work together. Hello? Even your mistakes. See, some stuff you have to let go of in your mind. Some stuff you just have to put down under the bridge and let it be water under the bridge because you ain't going to figure it out. You need to forgive yourself. You need to let yourself go. You need to let other people go. You need to just draw the line and say, listen, I'm starting with a new slate here. Forget that. I'm not letting you. I'm not letting the devil. And I definitely ain't bringing it up no more. The past is the past. Yeah, it was messed up, but it's messed up. God is under his forgiveness. It's in the sea of forgetfulness. God ain't reminding me of it. Why should I be troubled with it now? Come on, so see, you got to move on. You got to regain your identity and not worry about what people are thinking about you. Worry about what people are saying about you or how people feel toward you. Get so in God to where you can love everybody, no matter what. Look at somebody and tell them, I love you, and you can't do nothing about it. Amen. I walk in forgiveness. So accuracy in the midst of crises. This is what God wants us to be, accurate in crises, in challenging times, in difficult times, when we face adversity, to have our thoughts harnessed so that I don't start thinking another way or start questioning God's veracity or, amen, his immutability, or did God really say? You know what I mean? Accuracy in crises, the ability to be steadfast, to hold your feet still in the Jordan. Remember that principle. The moment they stepped in the Jordan, God went to work because their obedience was fulfilled. They were standing there. God was working. They didn't see it right away because it's a process. Ultimately, I think I shared this. Ultimately, when the water dried up, because where they were at Bethabara, and I saw this area in the Dead Sea and everything with my own eyes, but from where they were, not too far downstream, it emptied into the Dead Sea. So God stopped it in the place called Adam, in the city called Adam, which is symbolic of the old nature. God cut off the source of the old nature when their obedience was fulfilled, when their feet were in the Jordan, and they were standing there with the presence of God. See, when you're going through some trials and that, when the water is high and you're going through trials and you're having to believe God, God is doing something in you. Hello, it's not just a happenstance. God is doing something for you, but he's also doing something in you. He cut that water off, listen, that would pass by there that they were standing in, that would empty into the Dead Sea. So what are we saying here? In their obedience, in their accuracy or complete obedience to his command, he cut off the old nature that produced dead works. You see, when you learn to suffer and you go through, the works that you were producing that were dead works are no longer dead works. All of a sudden, you become accurate. Hello, sometimes you'll surprise yourself. You start talking and all of a sudden you realize it's the Holy Ghost talking through you. You start talking to someone and all of a sudden they get blessed by what you're saying. It's the Holy Ghost talking through you.
Thank you for joining us as we continue in Transformation Part 3, Breaking the Bondage. He is sovereignly behind both the rise and the demise that is taking place today. He manages darkness as he is managing light. Your eyes must be set on what he has said. Let him take you beyond the limitation of your education, gifting, and natural strength, because you are bigger than that. Gideon had a limited view of himself. Judges 6 and 12 says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." God sent an angel to pronounce to him who he really was. God is breaking the bondage of low self-esteem and limited sight, because darkness cannot comprehend the light.
Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, Call toll-free